2-hour time-lapse of the comet during the early morning hours of January 28th. If you've got a telescope, are in Canada, and you look closely at the comet and the background stars, it's traveling relative in our sky about 1/4 degrees per hour, he told CBC's Radio Main Street Halifax. So within a few minutes, you can see that the comet's actually making motion in the night sky. Meanwhile,
listening to WGXC Accra. What up, Hudson Catskill? 90.7 FM.
Find out where the music takes you on the next Deep Threes when Trillman cooks up a juicy jazz track. Power trio The Mesthetics make waves. And Sarah DeVacci flies solo with her array of keyboards. Deep Threes. Music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
There is a LGBTQIA plus youth dance party at the Hudson Area Library on Sunday, February 12th from 2 to 4 p.m. It's open for all youth and allies. Students in grades 6 through 12 are invited for karaoke, dancing, snacks, and more. The show is supported by Trixie's Oven, Little Deb's Oasis, Spotty Dog Books and Ale, and Supernatural Coffee and Bakery. And it's from 2 to 4 p.m. Sunday, February 12th at the Hudson Area Library, an LGBTQIA plus youth dance party. Go to the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org for more information about this and many other local events.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Marcus DeGrazia Acupuncture of Austerlitz, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Congress, in its wisdom, has prohibited pirate operators, that is, people who operate without licenses, from ever owning a low-power station. On the other hand, that same pirate could own, for example, WCBS-TV in New York City.
Here are the WGXC headlines. The United States shot down a Chinese spy balloon that had floated from the western United States to off the coast of South Carolina on Saturday, February 4th. Secretary of State Antony Blinken had canceled a previously scheduled trip next week in China because of the incident. President Joe Biden gives the annual State of the Union address at 9 p.m. Tuesday, February 7th. The Bank of Greene County has a plan to grow $5 billion in assets without acquisitions. The bank has already doubled in size in the last 5 years and reached a milestone 2 years ago when it surpassed $2 billion in assets. New York deer are now being infected with the Omicron variant of COVID-19, a study has found. The coronavirus has now been found in deer in 15 states. It was cold on Friday and Saturday in the Hudson Valley and nearby. But a new record for the coldest wind chill ever recorded was minus 108 degrees Fahrenheit, set at the summit of Mount Washington in New Hampshire on February 3rd. That location is at 6,288 feet. The temperature there got down to minus 47 degrees in the early hours of February 4th, which tied the previous record from 1934.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update.
On February 2nd, three local congressional representatives voted for a bill, and I quote, denouncing the horrors of socialism, end quote. House Resolution 9 is deeply ridiculous legislation. It was a show vote in a country with many socialist policies, such as the collective funding of the military for national defense. The bill passed 328-86, with Democrat Pat Ryan and Republicans Elise Stefanik voting for the resolution and Democrat Paul Tonko voting against. The resolution only said, and I quote, "This concurrent resolution denounces socialism and opposes the implementation of socialist policies in the United States," end quote. This has little chance of passing the Senate nor being signed by President Joe Biden. The Cook Political Report forecast a toss-up election for Republican Mark Molinaro in the 19th Congressional District in 2024. The same group says that Pat Ryan's 18th district leans to the Democrat. Molinaro defeated Democrat Josh Riley in last fall's election, where Republicans picked up a few seats in New York. With the presidential election in 2024, turnout is likely to be higher in Molinaro and Ryan's next election. Larry Rulison reports in the Times Union that the Department of Environmental Conservation is investigating an oil spill February 2nd at the Norlite Aggregate Plant and Incinerator in Cohoes in Albany County. A DEC spill response team investigated the incident and blamed equipment failure on a waste oil tank located in the facility's equipment building for the leak of 200 gallons of waste oil onto the ground. They said there were no air quality impacts from the spill. Norlite makes aggregate from shale that is used in road and construction projects and has a history of violations with DEC in Cohoes. Norlite has been accused of emitting illegal emissions and dangerous silica dust into the air that has caused health problems for neighboring residents. Read the full story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Police murder of Tyre Nichols and the attack on Black history. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. February 1st marked a beginning and an end. It's the first day of Black History Month, the national celebration honoring the hard-won achievements of African Americans over the painful arc of the more than 400 years since the first ship of enslaved Africans arrived in 1619. February 1st was also the day of the funeral for Tyre Nichols, the 29-year-old African American father who died on January 10th after being brutally beaten by five Memphis police officers 3 days earlier. As Tyre was laid to rest, a firestorm was erupting over how Black history is taught, with at least one state's rejection of a proposed AP African American history curriculum. Tyre Nichols was driving home on the evening of Saturday, January 7th, when Memphis police pulled him over, they claimed, for reckless driving. Even the police chief later admitted there was no such basis for the traffic stop.
Get the car! Damn, I didn't do anything, bro!
Get the F out of the effing car, one officer screamed, to which Tyre responds, "I didn't do anything." Police pulled Tyre from the car and roughly pinned him to the ground. Tyre appeared frightened but remained calm. As one officer tased him, he escaped, running towards home. The police caught up with Tyre on a quiet residential street just a couple hundred feet from home. More police resumed the vicious attack. Police body cameras and a pole-mounted security camera documented the assault. Tyre's final words as he was beaten into unconsciousness were to call for his mother. Less than 10 minutes after the initial traffic stop, Tyree, handcuffed and bloodied, was propped against a police car. When he fell over, he was again propped up, but otherwise ignored by the police and EMTs. 20 minutes passed before an ambulance arrived. He died in the hospital 3 days later. The five officers, all of whom are black, were fired and charged with second-degree murder. A white officer, heard on the video saying, "I hope they stomp his ass," was suspended, as was another officer. Two Memphis Fire Department EMTs were also fired, as was their on-site supervisor, a lieutenant, for failing to adequately help Tyree.
He had a beautiful soul, and he touched everyone.
That's Rovon Wells, Tyree's mother, speaking on the Democracy Now! NewsHour.
The boy smiled all the time. He loved his mother's cooking. He loved his son. That's why he came to Memphis in the first place, to be with his mom, build a better life for him and his son. But Memphis took my son away from me.
At the funeral, Reverend Al Sharpton delivered Tyree's eulogy, and family attorney Ben Crump spoke from the pulpit. Both men praised local racial justice and police accountability activists for bringing attention to Tyree's murder. Among those recognized was Amber Sherman, member of the Black Lives Matter Memphis chapter.
It took a lot of on-the-ground organizing, pressuring the folks in charge.
Amber Sherman said on Democracy Now!
If we hadn't had the protest on Saturday, about over a week ago, we hadn't shown up at City Hall on MLK Day, and we haven't continued to show up at the DA's office and host a sit-in, and we haven't continued to pull up on people who are not responding to us, then we definitely wouldn't be getting that video footage.
Change doesn't happen without organizing and activism, as the history of Memphis so painfully illustrates. Martin Luther King Jr. was in Memphis in 1968, supporting striking municipal sanitation workers fighting for better, safer working conditions after two workers were crushed to death in a malfunctioning garbage truck. On April 3, 1968, King gave his famous To the Mountaintop speech at Memphis's Mason Temple. The next afternoon, he was assassinated, standing on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel. While King's assassination is a well-known point in historical time, it falls on a continuum of systemic racism, white supremacy, and violence against African Americans. Tyree's killing now has a permanent place on that tragic timeline, along with the police killings of Michael Brown, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and so many more. Tyree and Breonna were both born on the same day, June 5, 1993. Neither will reach their 30th birthday. This is why honest, comprehensive school curricula on Black history is so important. Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis has championed the whitewashing of Black history, demanding the removal of topics like Black Lives Matter, police brutality, and reparations, recently leading the successful effort to ban the new AP African American history curriculum in the Sunshine State. So much for sunshine. Justice for Tyree Nichols and other Black victims of police violence ultimately relies on organized action from an informed citizenry. Black history needs not just to be a month, but taught every single day. Kids and adults need to learn the whole truth and nothing but the truth. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast for Sunday, February 5th. And we begin each renewable weather forecast with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The Stewart's Shops in Caro has gas at $3.54 a gallon, the lowest according to the Gas Buddy website. The air quality forecast is a 32, which is on the low side. The UV index is a 2, which is also considered low. The temperature of the water in the Hudson River in Albany right now is just below 37 degrees. And on average, in the last 10 years, it's been just above 36 degrees on this date. The National Weather Service in Albany says Sunday should be cloudy and warmer, becoming sunny with a high of 44 and a south wind 9 to 13 miles per hour spinning local windmills. Sunday night, the forecast is for cloudy skies with a low around 30 and a south wind 7 to 11 miles per hour. Monday should be partly sunny with a high near 39 and a northwest wind 10 to 14 miles per hour. Low around 19 with a northwest wind at night 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tuesday, there's a 20% chance of rain or possibly snow showers after 1 p.m. with cloudy skies, a high of just 41 with a low around 33 on Tuesday night. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered community radio.
You have the already global networks. So my argument is very simple. The present media is too large and wasteful. From now on, we should think about the more smaller media to diverse our culture and community. I have different idea on airwave. Airwave belong to the every people, everybody, not to the states or a government. Okay, I will make the transmitter now. Special radio station. Telephone number is 212-420-9045.
Pedimos que por favor reporten al 420-9045. Estamos midiendo la fuerza de esta transmisión, una nueva emisora.
This is great.
That's but I have only the VHS.
Independent narrowcasting.
For less than it costs to buy a little good radio.
Building.
This is WNYU too. We're actually going over a really powerful station.
Really?
Right
we're
now.
Going over NYU?
Yeah, so if you can imagine if we go on a space that's not being used, we can go even further.
Yeah. Not that there are a lot in New York. But keep yours close to the mic. These guys know what's called. We're really getting a lot of reach and a lot of distance. Nobody lives around here, that's the thing. Tell me if I'm going to bump into these guys. Not them, is it? We're joined by Liz Moran, who is the New York policy advocate for Earth Justice. And I saw Liz recently leading a rally on the $1 million staircase at the state capitol as part of the campaign for All Electric Buildings Act. Liz, what was your feeling response to the rally?
It was such a phenomenal day, an excellent event. You really saw the energy that New Yorkers are bringing to the table here when it comes to electrifying buildings. And that really tracks. There was polling that was actually conducted this past fall about how New Yorkers feel towards all electric new construction. And 66% of New Yorkers support this policy. And so you can really feel that energy there. People are really excited to get New York off of fossil fuels, to make their homes safer, and to save on energy costs, which is another important benefit of moving towards all electric new construction. So it was a very, for lack of a better word, energetic day. And we're feeling strongly encouraged about this budget season.
Now, the governor did actually have something similar to this last year, not quite the timeline. So what does she put in the budget this year, and how does that compare to, you know, the All Electric Buildings Act?
Yeah, so last year the governor did have a very small provision dedicated towards all electric new construction that would have mandated it starting in 2027. We're really glad that the governor has put this on the table 2 years running, because it means a conversation is going to be had. There's going to be negotiations during the budget process. So our interest here is very good and should be commended. Regarding the details, there's room for improvement. So the governor's proposal has a start date for all electric new construction for buildings three stories and under starting 2026. And for larger buildings and commercial buildings starting in 2028. So that timeline is pretty weak. We think it's critical to move at a faster pace and entirely doable. New York City has a law on the books where they're going to be starting all electric new construction soon. And starting it for larger buildings than three stories. It's actually going to be for buildings six stories and under starting in the next year. We know this is technologically feasible. It's already happening in a number of municipalities across New York State where we're getting all electric newly constructed buildings, because at this point it's just starting to make sense to go that way, both for people's pocketbooks and for their health and to address the climate crisis. So as the budget process is underway, we're going to be strongly advocating for the All Electric Buildings Act, which is legislation carried by Senator Kavanaugh and Assemblymember Gallagher. It lines up with New York City's local law. We think it makes sense for the state to adopt what New York City has for uniformity, and again, because it's entirely doable and necessary. So that's what we'll be pushing for as budget negotiations are underway.
Well, last year, Governor Hochul did put in, something in the budget about this. It was pulled out. Somebody said they didn't want to do the policy in the budget, and then it did not get passed at the end of the session. Is the push going to be to include it in the budget, put the All Electric Building Act into the budget, which is legally doable, or is it going to be in the session, or has that decision not yet been made?
We are absolutely advocating for this to be done in the budget and don't see any reason to not do in the budget. So last year, the Senate included it in their One House budget, and we are strongly pushing the Assembly to do the same this year and to come to the table and negotiate on this. I think for some additional context, getting this done in the budget is really important because New York State just finalized its climate scoping plan, and addressing buildings is a big component of the scoping plan. The budget is an important document for New York State because it indicates how strong a priority something needs to be for the state. This document is going to be really important this year because it's the first coming out of this scoping plan. And it offers major opportunities for New York State to significantly tackle some of the recommendations in the scoping plan. And in many cases, it'll be important to go beyond what the scoping plan has recommended.
Now, I'm going to ask you sort of probably a little complicated question. You know, there have been a lot of pushback against the Old Electric Buildings Act. Oh, you know, heat pumps don't work in upstate New York, which I think has pretty much been discouraged. But on a different but somewhat related issue, more recently, the right's been going after, oh, the people want to, you know, these climate activists want to get rid of your gas stoves and go to electric or induction type stoves. How is that gas stove issue playing out? Because that seems to be the new buzzword in the media.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, this is really not about gas stoves. It is, but it isn't. So part one to discuss this is we're really just talking about new construction here. So we're not talking about ripping people's gas stoves out of their homes. You know, there will be a time where we are going to need to do that, but that's not what's being discussed in this legislation. This is really just about newly constructed homes. Number two, it's important to add the public health component here. 19% of childhood asthma cases can be attributed to gas stove pollution in people's homes. And there's a lot of gas stoves in New York. So tackling fossil fuels in new construction is one small way to start getting at this problem. But down the road, we are going to need to address gas stoves in a more meaningful way. It's just not actually the first thing on the docket here. We really just want to start with new buildings because we know we can't continue locking in our reliance upon fossil fuels.
Okay. So to further confuse this discussion, because we're really talking about the Old Electric Buildings Act, but mainly we have existing buildings in New York State and the Climate Council, and the governor says, you know, we have to help, you know, low and moderate income people, you know, transition to air heat pumps, which can be expensive. She's put, I believe, maybe $200 million or something on the table. I think the advocates are talking billions, not a couple hundred million. How is that going to play out?
Yeah, the governor did put forward $200 million towards NYSERDA's Empower program to help low-income households retrofit their homes. It's good. But it's true. It's far from what is needed here. So we're hopeful that the governor and the legislature will come together and include additional resources for low to moderate income households to start making their switch off of fossil fuels and to make their homes more energy efficient. Go ahead.
We just have about a minute left. Let's finish up. Where do we move forward here with the Old Electric Buildings Act? What else do you guys want to see in the budget in the last minute?
Right now, the focus is turning to the legislature. The legislature has the opportunity to negotiate in this budget process through their one-house budgets. We want to see the assembly in particular include the All-Electric Buildings Act in their one-house budget. It's gaining tremendous popularity within the assembly, so we see no reason for them to not have this as part of their one-house budget. And we want to make sure that all of the climate policies in the governor's, in the final budget are as strong as necessary to give New York a truly zero emissions future and to protect environmental justice communities.
If people want more information about the All Electric Buildings Act, Earth Justice, how best to do that?
Yeah, you can visit earthjustice.org for more information. We put out a budget release with all of our positions on what the governor's proposed, and the public can find that there.
Thank you very much, Liz Moran, New York policy advocate, Earth Justice. And this is Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
No one in my side, and what's the